What are you doing?
Stacking sets.
Hey y'all, welcome to Windshield Time. This is Day and Airy. How are you?
Hey y'all.
Alright, so it is Wednesday evening, about 9:33 p.m. on May 6th. And we have a whole range of topics to mention. And we're not, maybe not go too deep on any one of them, but just a whole bunch of highlights from this past week. So again, this is May 6th, Wednesday, and this show will go out on Friday, May 8th.
Woohoo!
All right, so this past weekend, this past Sunday, May 3rd, was the annual Berkshire Hathaway shareholders meeting.
Yeah, people were really excited about this Buffett stuff. I was really not into it.
And you were probably a little annoyed with me because I was trying to listen to it as it was being streamed live. And we were trying to unload the car from our massive trip to Costco to pick up supplies. Food and supplies. Do you remember that?
Nope.
So I was trying to listen to it live stream, and there was a couple of people who I was trading tweets with as it was going on. And it was immensely entertaining for finance geeks. And I was thinking it's kind of like when the king speaks once a year, everybody's going to listen to the king because of the golden rule.
What?
He who has the gold makes the rules.
So Buffett has the gold and he makes the rules on investing?
Pretty much. He garners a lot of attention and people listen to every single word of what he says. Especially on the annual shareholders meeting. And it was especially poignant because we're doing these COVID-19 pandemic shows. This is pandemic show number 7.
Uh-huh.
And in his annual shareholders meeting that's done live every year in Omaha,
uh-huh,
last year there was 16,000 people that attended in person.
Wow.
It is an extravaganza of capitalism.
Wow.
Is one time that I've heard it described as, and it's a showcase of shareholders and Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger and other executives, and then also all the businesses. It's like a fair. So all the businesses that they own, they basically all have a booth.
Oh yeah,
and they do a massive showing of everything.
I remember. Oh, I think there was a biography or something on Buffett on one of the channels. And they showed that at the end, Warren Buffett. Yeah, I remember this. Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay.
It is an extravaganza of American capitalism. It is. Yes. So it was basically just him, another executive who's probably going to partially take over when Warren retires and when Charlie retires. And then it was basically an empty, like, it looked like a airplane hangar. It was just a big, empty auditorium. And, you know, Warren was sitting there and taking questions and talking and presenting. And he's, like, 89 years old, and he was going for, like, a total of net, like, something like 4.5 hours.
Jesus. But I have a question. So we're in the more alternative investments space, right? Looking for alternative investment vehicles, hedges, things of that sort, and even Bitcoin. So, but I was really surprised that a lot of Bitcoiners were following this event with Buffett, who's much more traditional, non-tech guy, like non-Bitcoin guy. Like, why does this world care about what Buffett has to say?
Well, it generates news for mainstream media outlets because when someone asked him about Bitcoin much earlier, maybe in the past year or two, something like that,
mm-hmm,
he said that it was rat poison squared. So that hit the news wires and everybody was talking about it. All the Bitcoiners were loving the attention.
Uh-huh.
Charlie Munger called it something like a black market for babies, like baby parts or something like
what?
That. Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. And so saying those kind of ridiculous statements gets the mainstream media all riled up. And when the mainstream media gets riled up, all the Bitcoiners get riled up and all the attention, everything is just feeds on itself.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. But some of the notable comments. So I think all the Bitcoiners were waiting for someone to ask about Bitcoin. No one ever did, I don't think. I didn't get through the entire presentation and event. It's just too long, and we do not have time. And so some of the notable comments that Warren made was never bet against America. And then later on in the presentation, I think he also said never, never bet against America. So he's extremely bullish on the future of America because he's seen a lot of catastrophic historical and financial events, and we've gotten through it all the other times before, and so he's remaining very bullish and positive and optimistic for the long-term prospects of America.
But he pulled out of all the airplane stocks a while back.
That did make some news.
Yeah.
He sold his entire position in the airlines, the top four airlines that he had taken, took a loss on it, and said, you know, he admitted he made a mistake and said, that's it.
I'm out. Yeah.
Yep. In other economic news that's very, very relevant these days, tomorrow a new number comes out, but this past week, the first time unemployment claims hit 30 million people.
Oh, God.
30 million people in the last basically couple of months since we've been doing these pandemic shows and since we've been in, you know, pandemic quarantining lockdown have filed for unemployment. And it is, unprecedented.
It's catastrophic for a lot of people. And so, I don't know, like, do we know any people in our circles or how are people getting by? Like,
we know
food
a few.
And rent and...
Yeah. It's... Well, I mean, there's the helicopter money of the stimulus checks, $1,200 per adult if you make under a certain amount per year that's being delivered to people. There's all kinds of stimulus that's happening. And so that's why the meme was created.
Which one?
Money printer go... That's why I was practicing earlier today in the bathroom. Money printer go... That's actually a better one. Yeah, I'll do it one more time because I was pretty tickled that I was able to figure that out because I was actually learning from the quinoa because he does that.
Oh, the quinoa does.
Yeah, so it's like money printer go, money printer go. There you go. That was it. Money. Man, that waveform is beautiful. Holy cow.
Money printer go.
There you go. You got it too. That's a nice looking waveform. So we've been doing these pandemic shows recording on just a regular old iPhone. Basically, after all the work of doing all the research and connecting all the fancy gear of all the podcast studio and everything, we're reduced down to basically just an iPhone.
Woohoo. Maybe we should sell all this
ridiculous.
Stuff.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And no, we're not selling any of that.
No, let's sell it. Anything.
So,
what up?
Moving on to the next topic. Why don't we go ahead? We'll go ahead and thank the WTIA for their sponsorship of the podcast, the Washington Technology Industry Association. They've been doing a lot of leadership, great leadership with Michael Schutzer regarding information, good information, not disinformation with respect to the pandemic.
Yeah, so the WTIA, the Washington Technology Industry Association, represents over 1,100 technology companies in the Pacific Northwest. It's the largest technology trade association in the United States. And Michael Schuster, he's the CEO and very well connected with Washington government and policymakers and making sure that we have the right information in the tech sector. And the tech sector actually is doing quite a bit to give back to the community. So they're sharing all that information, sharing all the information about how to get those resources and connecting community members with community leaders.
Awesome. And then the one interesting aspect about the tech companies here in Western Washington, I believe it's Zillow. Who runs Zillow now? What's his name?
Oh, gosh.
You presented to him one time a long time ago. Tall, skinny guy.
Rich Barton.
Yeah. So Rich Barton, they already basically said, hey, the data is proving that working from home is not what we expected with respect to employee productivity. So they already called the rest of 2020
Yeah.
working from home fully available to everyone.
To the end of 2020, and I think Microsoft and Amazon have also said to the end of October.
Okay.
Already, so yeah. I think three companies have already called it.
And we're really, really privileged and lucky to be in an industry that is in technology and can basically bend to the will of a global pandemic and have people work remote and still be productive. You know, maybe despite having young kids at home, having childcare issues, etc., we are still very, very lucky that we can do that. Unlike other folks who have to work, and when they work, it's in person.
Yeah, I mean, I see the mailman still, you know, sending mail. The person that dropped off our groceries today, because I haven't had time to go to the grocery store. I mean, there. I think a lot of people are still having to do various parts of their jobs that are able to, and whatever. I think we're all very lucky to still have jobs. Or yes, get jobs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Speaking of jobs, I'm still in my sales job for internet infrastructure, DNS, DHCP, and IP address management, and internet security. Give me a call if your company needs any of those services. And then speaking of semi-sponsorships or sponsorships, so we got a new one coming.
Woohoo! I'm so excited about this.
Yeah, so I'm waiting for the ad copy to arrive, and I'm going to help with it, but basically it's related to swag, which is a topic that is near and dear to my heart.
Like really near and dear to his heart.
And so really excited to onboard a new sponsor and you know, just have some more fun and also be productive in the space with respect to swag.
Yes. Not just t-shirts and hats, though. I mean, this company does, like, pop sockets, all different kinds of, like, Momo sticks. Those are really cool. These charging thingamabobbers.
Wireless chargers for iPhones and iPod cases, or AirPod cases, yes.
Yes, very, very novel, like, really useful swag, actually. I would really check them out. And their pricing is really good. I think we purchased pop sockets from them, and they actually had some of the best pricing when it came to, like, swag.
Yeah. It's a very valuable item, it is. Pop sockets, yeah.
Hey, Day, what's the price of Bitcoin at? Are we still above 9, or are we at 9? Where are we at?
So we're going to do some Satoshi math, it sounds like. All right. So we are approaching the halving, so we'll talk about the halving in a second. But, excuse me.
Or the halving.
The halving or the halving. And so we are holding steady. I just checked a little while ago, and we are basically right at $9,300 per Bitcoin.
Wow, almost approaching 10K.
I know. So yeah, this time period and the price action on Bitcoin is extremely historical, because we're approaching the third halving, and it's happening on Monday, May 11th, approximately 2 p.m. from the last estimate that I drew up, and 2 p.m. Pacific. And so, it's going to be an amazing event to witness, I think. We'll see, because this is basically the kickoff to seeing how we can get to $100,000 per Bitcoin by the end of 2021, if the predictions come true, if the stock to flow model is going to hold its weight.
So mind blowing! Like, I can't imagine, because, like, how does it's still like it's so surreal. I mean, what we're going through right now is surreal. So, I guess when you say that what we're going through right now is surreal, I guess Bitcoin could go to 100K each.
So is it at $9,300? If you do the Satoshi math, go to your favorite search engine and you search on hashtag Satoshi math, and basically we're either the top search result or on the first page, and you put in the number of dollars, you put in the number of dollars like one, and then $9,300 for... You put in the number one, representing one dirty US fiat dollar, and then you put in the price per Bitcoin, $9,300, and then it'll calculate for you, 8 decimal places out, that you get 10,752 sats per dirty US fiat dollar.
And if you just wanted to do that math manually, it's $1 divided by 0.00009300 to get 10,752 satoshis or sats per one US dollar.
I think that was the longest Satoshi math session or segment we've ever run in our lives. Thank you for your patience, everybody, and tuning in. Okay, so the halving. So again, it's on May 11th, approximately 2 p.m. Pacific. It looks like it's not an exact time because the block rewards are change. And the amount of time that it takes to get the block reward rewarded is not perfect, so, but it's a really, really, really good estimate. And so on that note, the halving mullet is coming in really, really well. I have to post another amazing photo of the halving mullet.
Yes, very, very
it's very looking rather swooshy. Amazing, actually.
And he's gonna cut it as soon as the halving is over.
Probably, I'm thinking we'll see what happens.
We're gonna cut it.
It's gonna cut. But we'll definitely do a video if and ever the clipping of the mullet happens,
which will happen on Monday, May 11th.
We'll do a video on that.
It'll get cut.
Post it up.
Bye bye.
And so I realized when I did that Zoom session with Matt Case, I did a session of drinking, not driving with him. I realized that the halving mullet needs to graduate because it's going to maybe stay dormant for you know, a couple, 3 years. And so it's going to graduate to the Bitcoin mullet. And so I already grabbed that handle on Twitter. So Bitcoin mullet is going to be the kind of like the lifelong mullet of Bitcoin. But then you have the halving mullet, just comes around, you know, every 4 years, every time there's a presidential election year come up.
I'm holding my tongue.
All right. So landing the plane here, last couple topics. So you were mentioning something that brings you some happiness or satisfaction these days. You said number go down. And what happens when you say number go down?
I get happy. And the number that's going down right now is my weight. So, you know, post baby weight, a little bit of the weight is coming off. I'm very happy about it. I think the key thing is to not eat at night post 7 p.m. That's really, really critical.
You know, I used to have a rule that I didn't eat past 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the key to weight loss.
No eating, no drinking, anything after 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Except for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights when I went out. So 4 out of 7 nights a week after 6 p.m., no consumption of calories.
Yeah, I think that's really been key for me lately. Plus, you know, we have the daily family walk right now. So I'm getting the family walk.
After dinner.
And then not eating post 7 p.m. Anyway, my number is going down.
Which you're taking enjoyment in, but you didn't know about the Bitcoin meme, number go up.
And I was like, what is that? Why is that a meme?
It is basically indicative of as the price of Bitcoin goes up, then interest in Bitcoin goes up. Mm. And so it's a very simple 3-word meme. Number go up means that Bitcoin is doing better, more people are coming in, more adoption, more everything when number goes up.
Together we rise.
I think people who are obsessed about this space like I am know about that kind of meme, but you don't see it as much in the Twitterverse these days. All right, so I think we're basically at the end here. A little bit of trivia. I was doing a little bit of a technology trivia looking, and I discovered something interesting. So the iPhone 5S, comparing that to the iPhone 11,
whoa.
The iPhone 5S in 2013 versus the iPhone 11 in 2019. So that's a separation of 6 years.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at the highest capacity iPhone in 2013 with the 5S, it was 64 gig.
Okay.
And then the iPhone 11, the lowest capacity iPhone, was 64 gigabytes.
Okay.
So in the span of 6 years,
mm-hmm.
the maximum you could get purchase of storage, data storage, went to the minimum. Mm. Any thoughts on that?
I think you're thinking too hard.
I think it's really, really interesting.
Well,
I think it's really interesting.
I guess, but I want to know, like, what's the highest you can get now?
They're going to get into a terabyte pretty soon here.
That's insane.
Because but you can
you
get...
You know the files that iPhone collects, though, on the pictures and the audio files and the movies and the those, like, movie picture things? They take up a lot of space.
Live photos, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of space.
I mean, everything trends towards bulk and size when it comes to data. And so I think it's just really interesting that in the span of 6 years, the maximum amount of storage went to the minimum amount of storage. And maybe there's some sort of like anecdotal stories that people could say with respect to the growth of, you know, purely digital money.
Yeah.
And so Bitcoin's been around for about 12 years.
Yeah.
And we've reached something like $150 billion in market cap, maybe something like that. Yeah. Maybe $175 billion.
Yeah.
And so, you know, who knows what's going to happen over the next 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just really interesting.
You're really interesting.
All right. Thanks for tuning in again, everyone. You've wasted another fine 20 minutes or so with Day and Ari on Windchill Time.
Thanks for checking in. Again, thank you so much to our sponsor, the WTIA, the Washington Technology Industry Association. And thank you to you, our listeners and our sponsors and our community. We really could not do this without you, so we really appreciate you. Hope you're staying safe and healthy during this pandemic. And don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and share. Thank you, and together we rise.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Be nice, y'all.
Bye.
Bye. All right, all right, all right. Welcome to Windchill Time, y'all. Thanks for tuning in. This podcast is non-technical, fun, informative way to learn about money, Bitcoin, blockchains, crypto, and digital assets for busy parents and working folks who are curious about these new technologies. Day, Ari, and their guests talk about these evolutionary systems of money and what they do, y'all. Because what part of your life does money not touch? This podcast is not financial advice, and your reactions are your total and complete responsibility, y'all. Now, thanks again, and enjoy the show.
Your turn.
What are you doing?
Just stepping inside.